Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And Keyboard Warriors, Facebook page, BBM 98.7 FM. I like technology. Traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, mob, yarn up strong, too deadly. Now, see mob to be the first Indigenous youth-led environmental organisation. We're going to catch up a yarn with Toshiko King, Tish, young Torres Strait Island woman, and Seed Mob community organiser on the line. We have Tish. Very good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Trevor. Or Trendy Trev, as they say.
Trendy Trev. Too deadly, my sister. Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Tish.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hey, mob out there, my name is Tish King. Everyone calls me Tish, and I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander woman with strong connections to Musig and Badu Island. But quickly before I begin, I too would like to acknowledge country, knowing that we are all tuning in from different areas.
Yes.
Where I am, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the Gubba Gubba country, which is here, Sunshine Coast in southeast Queensland. And I would like to pay my respects to those elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. And also acknowledging all you deadly followers out there. Hello.
Hello.
But I am the community organizer at Seed Mob.
Yes.
And we've been building a movement of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to protect their land, rivers and oceans from the causes and impacts of climate change.
Well, when you look at my sister, the youth are our future, and look for a very important movement and organisation as Seed Mob. Just quickly explain to our listeners what Seed Mob is, and it's great to have young people at the table.
Absolutely. Look, for those who out there don't know who Seed Mob are, we are Australia's first Indigenous organisation that is on the front lines of climate justice. And since 2014, we have brought together and built the capacity of young mob from the far corners of our nation to lead and change their communities and collectively take action on our campaigns. Pretty deadly. Mm. And, you know, like you said, Trendy Trev, you know, it's that next generation that we're going to pass on to make sure that they keep, you know, keep the fight up.
Exactly. How long have you been part of the organisation there, Tish?
So while I was studying ocean science back a few years ago, I actually started off as a volunteer back in 2016, 2017.
Mm.
But it wasn't actually until, you know, the start of COVID that I became actually a part of the core team, and it's been proper deadly.
Fantastic. And so tell us about Seed Mob and the vehicle that we're using regarding moving forward in the future, educating people of the world. When you're talking about information, knowledge that we have as First Nation people, 60,000 years, professors in our own right, it's very important to have First Nation people at the table and youth at that.
That's exactly right. Like, you know, as we know, we are part of the oldest continuing culture in the world and have lived in harmony with our land for generations. And right now, climate change is just disproportionately affecting our own mob and Islander people, where we are experiencing, you know, sea levels rising in the Torres Strait and the loss of sacred country, diminishing food and water accessibility. And that's what we're all about. You know, we're about, you know, bringing our mob together, having a yarn, talking about these and having those critical conversations, because we need to see more of our mob, you know, being, because we're the ones most affected, we have to be leading this movement.
Yes.
And being, you know, ahead of and leading our mob to make sure that we do what we can to protect our country.
In regards to Seed Mob, is it government funded or is it a donation applicable for more money at the table? How's it work in that space?
Yeah, so we are a non-for-profit organisation, so we don't get any money from the government. But you know what? that's what it, you know, that's why we work really hard, because we don't want their money. You know, we want to work on this as a grassroots organization.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, we have these conversations with, you know, incredible allies and donors that would like to support us doing it. And that's what we have just launched this week. You know, for the first, while we've been around since 2014, on Tuesday we launched us going sort of independent and being our own entity, so that we can continue to build up that next generation of young people. And so this is what we're seeing now. And I think that's, you know, our sort of, we've got a lovely crowdfunder out there.
Good.
And, you know, getting those people to help support us to ensure that happens.
So, and how do we support you putting money on the table? Seed Mob... organization, is there a Facebook page? How do we do that, sis?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, we've got Instagram, Seed Mob, you'll find us there. Otherwise, head to our website. We've got seedmob.org.au, and you can put in crowdfunder, but all of our socials sort of link up there. Share on your social more about us, you know, share our posts, and just keep having those deadly yarns.
Too deadly. Fantastic. Well, we're yarning here on National Talk Black goes across the country, thanks to NERS. So there's the information out there to support Seed Mob. Doing a fantastic job there, Tish. Thanks for the update and the education on what you mob are doing there. And our youth is our future, and we need to protect the big island. That's Australia.
Deadly. That's right. Thank you, Trendy Trev. Thanks for the yarn.
Too deadly. You take care, my sister.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Adelia Yan, Tishiko King, her name is. She's Tish, known as Tish, young Torres Strait Island woman with Seed Mob, community organiser, and said from bushfires to droughts, heat waves, floods, and communities are on the front lines of climate impacts, and youth need to be at the table. And look, they operate by donation, so whatever you can do to support them, check them out, seedmob.org.au, and see what you can do, a gold coin, whatever the case may be. Every bit helps. Fantastic. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Rikari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Just offers me more hope, but there will be.
good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleybrook Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, today, International Day of People with Disability. We're going to catch up a yarn with a daily brother by the name of Ben Pettingill. And he's a man who carries disability but lives life to the fullest. On the line, Ben, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, brother. How are you?
I'm very good, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you based, Ben?
I am Melbourne-based, down in sunny Victoria.
Sunny Victoria, yes, and the borders are open.
That's it. You're welcoming us up yet or not?
The door's always been open. We've been waiting for you guys to get organised. Now you're organised, come and see us, mate. Speaking of seeing us, look, tell us about your disability. You've lost 98% of your eyesight overnight when you was about 16. Tell us your story there, please, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a pretty typical day when I was 16 years old, and I'd had a pretty typical upbringing up until then. I loved my sport, loved being outdoors, basketball, footy, cricket, you name it, I loved it. Mm. And it wasn't until I was sitting in my classroom at school and I just started to notice that everything was this tiny little bit blurry. Mm. I just had that gut instinct, that sick feeling in your stomach that something wasn't quite right.
Yep.
And I just decided to tell my parents about it. They said, look, let's just go to hospital, get it checked out, and we'll go from there. Mm. And they kept me in overnight just to monitor the situation. They thought it was nothing too serious. And they said, when I woke up the next morning, I'd actually lost 98% of my eyesight. When I opened my eyes, everything was blurry, black, white and grey blurry shadows. Couldn't even see my hand in front of my face when I held it up.
Oh, wow. And so what from there, my friend, as a 16-year-old, very active, tell us the process and the thought process in that sense.
It was tough.
Yes.
It was a pretty tough time for sure. It was one of those things that took a fair bit of adjusting, and I'll be the first person to put my hand up and say, mate, that it was definitely more bad days than good in the beginning.
Mm.
There were some moments there that were pretty dark, but thanks to my support of family and friends and people that were pretty passionate about trying to help me recognise that just because I had a disability didn't mean that I had to limit my life, didn't mean that it had to be a negative thing. It just meant that I might have to do some things a little bit differently.
Well, the old phrase is not what happens to you in life, is how you respond to it.
Exactly. Your response is so important to these things.
Mm. And so, look, the other thing that comes to my mind is too many people out there complain about what things they haven't got instead of working with what you got. And that's what you've done, Ben, and you still live a full life as 98% of your eyesight no longer with you.
Yeah, I hope I live a full life, but yeah, no, I absolutely try to every single day. That's part of my mantra, and I think the biggest thing for me was recognising that I couldn't control the fact that I lost my eyesight, but what I can control is my attitude and my mindset, and trying to make the most of every day, which has allowed me to do some pretty cool things, get back into sport, still be involved in basketball from a coaching level, still getting out on the water skis behind the boat, all those sort of things, which I absolutely love.
That is too deadly. It's a powerful word we always use as First Nation people. Now, International Day of People with Disability. Look, it's great to have this day and to acknowledge and recognise and reach out to people with disability, especially for people who, like in your situation, receive the disability by accident or halfway through their life and the daunting future ahead, so to speak. But, yeah, pardon the pun, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, yeah.
There absolutely is light at the end of the tunnel, and that's a really exciting thing now. I think as a country and as a nation, I think we're getting better and better, better and better, and closer and closer to that end of the tunnel. That light's getting brighter, and we're working towards it and becoming more and more inclusive, and we're celebrating the achievements of all people that live with disabilities, which is fantastic.
And look, the other thing that we need to think about as well is not all disabilities are visible.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, sometimes I'll use a white cane, and when I'm around my home or just around my places where I'm really familiar with, I may not use the cane. So my eyes appear as if they work if you were looking at them, So if I'm answering the door and someone's delivering a package,
yes,
they would have no idea that I couldn't see. And that, like you say, there's also plenty of other invisible disabilities, including intellectual disabilities, mental health, autism, all those sort of things as well that you wouldn't see. Quite often we just associate disabilities with wheelchairs because
yes.
that's the symbol that we see on the car parks and on the bathrooms, but there's so much more to it than that.
Well, we say to all our peoples out there with disability, we are here for you. We are one. We are Australian, and we need to get it together. Look, the other hat that you wear, you're head of the Sports for All program at Get Skilled Access. So tell us a bit about that, and also an opportunity there for a First Nation person to join the team, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. There is the Sport for All program is really, really exciting. We're really proud at Get Skilled Access to be rolling it out. It's been funded by the federal government to make sport in schools and grassroots sporting clubs more inclusive. So we want to help schools and clubs not only build up the skills and the knowledge to help welcome people in with disabilities to their clubs at a mainstream level, but also build the confidence up within them. And like you said, there's an awesome opportunity. We would love to put the word out to Indigenous Australians, to the first people of this nation. If you love your sport and you'd love to get involved in the program, we've got a position there to help advise us to make the program as culturally appropriate as possible. The program's going to be launched in February next year, so jump on the Get Skilled Access website or the Sport for All website, and that's sport4all.com.au, and get in touch with us because we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have a chat.
Fantastic. Well, the great opportunity for a First Nation person out there. Are you looking at a First Nation person with disability?
It can be either. Someone with a disability if you've got one. But if you don't and you love your sport and you're passionate about what we're speaking about right now, and you may know someone with a disability, you may just be passionate about your sport. Doesn't matter. We'd love to hear from you.
Ben, look, nice talking to you. Love your attitude, my brother. Keep smiling. We'll be in touch and come up and join us here in Cairns, far north Queensland, brother.
Thanks, Trev. Really appreciate it. We'll be up there soon.
Take care, Ben. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Adelie Young there, Ben Pettingill, his name is, and a man with disability lost 98% of his eyesight overnight when he was only 16 years old. He's an adult now and has lived with that disability, but lived life to the fullest. And the fact that we're having a chat here today on National Day of People with Disability is the important conversation, reaching out to all our mob out there with disability. Be strong, and you can still live a deadly life. There's also an opportunity for a First Nation person with disability or without to join the Sports for All program. So it's a fantastic opportunity. Have a look at it. Go online and check out Get Skilled Access and find out the position there that's available, and it could open up a few doors. So, yeah, fantastic. Have your say. Jana Strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Jana with the bully run. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Like I'm a hope for Murray, young, strong and proud. With the black, yellow, red flag, say it out loud.
Go, 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 go.
Break it down, yuppa. Take it to the radio and turn it up, bopper.
We are the bummer, boom shakalaka. Daddy Miller, you fly, come and get your taka. Beer them nanta, cook it up, bala. Have a big tea, share the minna with another.
The canine from the farm, I like to talk a lot. I walk about to see what happens, then I walk to the spot. With the bullocky hoof, I do whatever I want. Then I'm running away, cause I don't wanna get stumped.
I like walking around, yo, my name is Cole. I like kicking the footy, I'm always kicking the goal. I'm always kicking the rap, with the black fella boys. With the yin to the yang, I make a bulk of noise.
We are the bummer, boom shakalaka. Daddy Mila, you fly, come and get your taka. Beer them nonstop, cook it up, fella. Have a big feature.
get on your mouth. It's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Look at the moon. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh. Happy both. Cockatoo fly with a cootie crow. By four walls, pouring till it seems all we have is our dream.
Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbo Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn, too deadly. Now, identity and culture, the keys to healing. We're going to catch up a yarn there with the Healing Foundation CEO, Fiona Pedersen. Nee Cornford and my beautiful cousin on the line. My sister, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, darling. Good to hear your voice. And thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, I'll let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, well, I was born in Cairns and big family there and Torres Strait and Darwin mainly.
Yes.
Della and Tim are my parents. And, we're Wutati and also got roots to Batu, Moa Islands, and what else? All the Sedans.
Yes.
Drummonds and Raymonds, all our mob.
All connected. We are. Thank you, my sister. Now, you are the CEO of the Healing Foundation. How long have you been in that role, sis?
Since April, yeah.
How are you enjoying April in the middle of the pandemic, so to speak?
Yes. Yes, that's right. It's been busy.
Yes.
I'm enjoying it. There's a lot to be done. It's all good work.
Good work. So when we're talking the Healing Foundation, tell us the makeup of the Healing Foundation and the job at hand, so to speak, Fee.
Yeah. So it's our 11th birthday, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, 11 years we've been, and we were set up by community mandate after Kevin Rudd's apology to the Stolen Generation.
Yes.
Since that time, we've been raising awareness around the need for healing, why healing is important, what needs to happen for our survivors to recover from trauma, and how it impacts on their descendants if we don't act and if we don't prioritise healing.
Exactly. Look, I see it as a vehicle, a tool as well, to educate our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters of this country, but also to educate the people of the world about First Nation people here in this country and what we've been through and how it still affects us today, yes?
Yes, that's right. So, we know the narratives all too well about how it's in the past and... that kind of thing, but it really isn't, and we've got the evidence and research to tell us that, to back up all the stories and voices from communities about the issues and what the origins of our trauma are.
Well, exactly. And you've got a podcast up, the latest Healing Our Way. Can you touch on that, please, Sis?
Yeah, sure. So despite COVID, we know that a lot of people... started listening to podcasts, and we took the opportunity to create a platform for voices to tell the truth, tell their truth via podcast.
And yes.
So working with 33 Creative, our youth reference group as well, we decided to share stories from those people that we work with every day on, to shed that light on the trauma that remains and the healing that needs to happen.
And when we're talking the stories, well, we're talking real stories. We're talking, the effect that has happened regarding Stolen Generation and the trauma that we live with because of those actions, yes?
Yeah, that's right. With colonisation, being denied knowledge of language, ceremonies and, identity, the things that tell us who we are and where we belong, it has an impact and it continues to. The systems in our country were all designed without us in mind.
Mm-hmm. And when you hear phrases, my sister, where especially non-Indigenous people who would say, look, we need to build a bridge and get over it, that happened in the past, we need to look to the future and move on, tomorrow's another day. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not, because what our evidence and research tells us is that that reconnecting with culture and our practices, our languages, our knowledges, that's what... creates healing. That's what moves us all along a healing journey, and that gives us strength despite these systems we interact with daily, perpetuating some of this trauma, not understanding or being equipped or to help or understand how to help our survivors recover from trauma. So that's our main message. That's my mandate in this role, is to influence as many workforces, sectors and systems to create change, to understand what they can do on each day to create healing.
Exactly.
And it's about us, our strengths. Our cultures have always kept us safe and well, but for many of our survivors, and we're talking almost 50% of the people in WA, in our mob in WA, were either taken, removed themselves from their families, or had a parent that was removed. So the trauma we carry, it's huge.
Of course it is.
This is now. This is not in the past. This is now.
Well, exactly. And here we are in the 21st century, and it is now. you know, and the pain is still there. And telling stories, like say, is a way of getting it off our chest and making our spirit feel good in telling the story, you know. What has happened, yes, it has happened. It is in the past, but it is still within us spiritually. And that's the healing process, having that conversation, educating people in the world and bringing it together. And I'm thinking of the phrase, you know, that they've used for the pandemic. We are all in this together, are we not, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you talk about the rest of the population and sharing with non-Indigenous peoples what the story is, it's saying to them that trauma is a human experience, that everybody reacts the same way.
Exactly.
You know, if they carry trauma. And so it's just that the origins of our trauma as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples stems from this colonisation and some of the policies of the past. So, you know, as you say, we are all human. It affects us, trauma in the same way, our bodies,
yes,
and the way our minds work. But healing is possible. We know that. And the uniqueness for us is that our healing, and this is backed by research and evidence, is through a sense of identity and culture, because that puts us in a place of strength.
And that's our best medicine, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It takes us out of that place of distress.
Also, to touch on your daily speech that you made at the Indigenous Allied Health Australia conference in Canberra on Wednesday. I read it, very deep, emotional, very real. Just to elaborate on that speech, I mean, yeah, you're doing your job as the CEO for the Healing Foundation, but I know, my sister, you talk from the heart, because, well, First Nation woman you are, and talking about our hurt and the healing process, a very deep and emotional, very real speech, my sister. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, look, it's I'm still growing in that area.
We all are.
But I think I can't shy away from that, because any opportunity where we can get these messages out there, and I want to answer the so what for people. You know, people say, okay, so I know this is happening, so what do we do about it? So
what's the solution? How does the future look? How can we make it work?
I want people to be stuck in that. There are very easy things that we can do on the day-to-day, and a lot of them we do through our culture anyway, and the way we were raised. You know, we help our elders, we make sure they understand, especially through COVID.
Well, exactly.
You know, our mobs have you know, it could have been much worse than it has been for our people. Then that's because of culture and the way we do things, the way we check in on each other and act collectively to get through hard times.
Well, when you're talking 60,000 years, you know what I mean? hello, you know, and we are the professors in all fields and all industries, you know. There could be a lot of pages taken out of our book, so to speak, for the world to heal, to get stronger, to move forward, and all the above, eh?
That's true. And you know what? Our evidence and research tells us exactly that. And we've got all these mainstream workforces and sectors now seeking us out, saying, help us do this. Help us do that. And it's, you know, they are taking a leaf out of our book, but the idea is that all scales up. And, you know, as I said, workforce by workforce, sector by sector, system by system, we all have the same understanding about right and wrong.
Yes, exactly. So to all our daily listeners out there, they can tune in to your podcast from the Healing Foundation, Healing Our Way. Also, your webpage as well?
Yeah, healingfoundation.org.au.
Okay.
We also have a healing portal with a lot of daily resources and a YouTube channel with more stories.
Yes.
So if you want to have a watch instead of as well as a listen.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got that those platforms there as well.
And look, a tool to, like I said, to educate the people of the world, and for our, like I said, non-Indigenous brothers and sisters to see where we're at, to get the information, to understand, to walk a mile in a moccasin, so to speak. Use the tools available, like your podcast, and your webpage, and look, the Healing Foundation. Well, it's all about healing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And our young people tell us. Yes, we want to end intergenerational trauma, but to do that, we need to continue this big groundswell and movement towards intergenerational healing, because that's our culture is strength-based.
So yeah, too deadly.
Intergenerational healing, it is.
Fiona, my cousin, thank you very much, my sister. Listen, all the best to you and your lovely family, and we'll be yarning soon and seeing you soon, and love to Mum and Dad as well, Fee.
Thank you. Thanks, Trevor.
Okay, darling, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. Cousin Fiona Peterson, Nee Cornford, she's the CEO of Healing Foundation. A big shout out to her beautiful parents, Tim and Della, Uncle Tim and Auntie Della. One love there. They're based in Brisbane, and Fiona's based down there in Canberra. And look, a very important conversation, identity and culture, the keys to healing. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
We lived and loved. Our day is through. But each night in dreams, it started anew. She comes to me, as she used to do, my love. And then she holds.
Country is My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Yarn Up with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Well, Trevor, how you going?
Good, brother. How are you travelling?
Yeah, good. Yesterday was really heavy. I'm sorry for all the listeners what they had to listen to, but it's part of the truth telling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It is what it is, isn't it?
It is, and that's what all part of the Spiritual Healing Foundation, and we want the people to know the past, and if nothing changed, well, how can people move forward, you know?
Mm.
So we're still, because of the tribe is... Yeah. At the end of yesterday's story about gold is it comes back to the old saying, where's the best place to leave the gold?
Mm.
In the bank.
Which in the bank. Bank. River the bank. Bank.
Winch bank.
River the, bank.
In the river bank. See, the yarn go around there. You know, but that land is covered by many tenures today to bring it up to date. There's wet tropics, world heritage, there's cane farms, there's national parks, they're all over it.
Mm.
So there's the people's wealth that, you know, they want it left in the ground probably because on the state treaty she feared mining up there and recurrence of gold industry. So gold's always been under threat from that, which is probably a hidden local truth.
Mm.
And prospectors go up there and they tell us what they're looking for and we tell them something, oh, there's nothing here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway. I want to talk about the green patch a little bit more because we've got this atrocity in Goldrail where we don't have normal vehicular for the tribe to get their good medicine and be able to go down the river.
Mm.
And I ran to a mob of our young fellas yesterday who was going down the green patch and there's a one-way bet and I stopped to let these other cars through and they jumped out on the road and all them nephews were hugging me up. And it was that intergenerational thing you were talking about earlier on, you know.
Trauma.
And, how you going, old man? You know, it was that trauma. And we were glad to see each other, so... I'm really glad that the family is, and they told me they listen to the radio and they think there's life outside of the corporation, that they're not corralled by all these rules, you know, they can just be people and don't have to be frightened to come forward. So what we're dealing with at the Green Patch, and I found there, is a lot of it's been shut down because of the disaster management group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people being drowned down there, but to us, or how I figured out the words, that the disaster management is a management disaster. But is it racially motivated to further traumatise the family and all, you know, the mean councillors, there's Black Molly, you know, talking up, you know, and to me they're all Masonic people to interfere in the community. And there's something really terrible happening in Gordonville for the locals not to be able to go down to their river by car in an already prepared parking area down there that they've closed off. Mm. It's a further atrocity to my and their spirituality and belief in being able to get somewhere on the land. And I went to the park in Gordonville yesterday and there's a cop that's driving across the grass, you know, and I was talking to tourists that I make welcome and tell them where they can camp and they get work, and some of them are doing well and they're staying here, you know, they're outsiders.
Mm, yes.
And I welcome the travellers and I tell them the Murray side of thing, and I've been using the green patch as a platform to do that and going down replacing the posters. I'm nearly out of them. Sorry, but the current theme is, the new words are, the disaster management is a management in disaster of a shut white elephant, the whole camp. We want the rest area open so we can go through there to the down to the gate and drive down the river. Now, these councillors are so mean, it's Christmas and our kids won't be able to go down to the river by car, or we won't be able to go down and pick them up or check them up or whatever.
Exactly.
The government's got all the land up in the valley, all the family mob live here, and now we can't even go down to our river. Listening to Kieran's radio, mate, AM radio, it is just, if anybody wants to press the buttons and the government wants it, they should shut that down. It's so racially inciting what's going on in there, all taxi drivers reporting about. No, he's coming down from the Cape. They got nowhere. They want to see the world like everybody else and the other tourists, you know, and they're not welcome. And it's terrible. Yeah, we can't even go down to our own river, you know. We can't even go down to our own river. That's our peace of mind to get out of the house, and that's our belief system is there.
How long has that been all set up, Tony? Hey?
What?
When they closed it all off and fenced it all off, how long has it been closed off for?
It's been closed off for a month now, and it hasn't rained a drop. You know, this is disaster management, and everybody's going on about camping ground. It's not about to us; it's access to the river. There's three stories here. There's the camping ground. That's fine. The poor travellers, you know, they come from towns, or they go to the rest area, and it shuts. And I sit there and I see them all come, and they're tired, and they hit the road. No wonder there's accidents. That is a rest area. The council added on the camping area. Built it under the three big strangler fig trees there. There's a circle of cement around it. But to get into the rest area, it used to continue, the track used to go into the rest area, and you could go down to the river and rest down there, and that's where we all go and rest. So there's two meanings to the rest area. There's for the travelling public, and there's for us mob. Indigenous people and all the other... They've taken over our country, and they're racist in there, but it's the same administration running out here, you understand?
Exactly, yep.
Words come out wrong sometimes. Yeah, I was married to an Aboriginal person. He didn't have that, but he's as connected as I am because I listened to him for years on the radio.
Yeah,
so good luck to him, you know, and his struggle, and I respect him. And sometimes it seems like there's no God, but we all like to believe in a little bit of something, and we believe in everything good, you know. We don't get pinned down on religions. And it's the Aboriginal spiritual belief system that the missionaries didn't get this one. I went the other way a bit.
Yeah, too dead, my brother. Well, thanks for sharing, my brother. We'll be in touch, Tony, and fight the good fight. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, the good fight is we want the river back for the kids for a Christmas present.
That's what we want, yep. We sure okay. do, my brother. It's a beautiful place down there. Thank you very much, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Tony Gibbs there, yarning up strong there about the green patch down there at Gordonville, and it's been a month now since they've closed it off there and made it like a, you could say, caravan park, a resting area, but shut off to locals, and that's his gripe and his fight for opening the riverbank, which is beautiful at the base of the pyramid out there at Gordonville. Big shout out to your mob down there, Gordonville. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in pandemic. Do not be lackadaisy, you mob.
Every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then you
little tune came into my head. Was a little tune about all you by my, just dancing and having some fun.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Hey sister, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Now we've been everywhere in Cape York, from the north down to the south, from the east over to the west. 'Cause Black Image gonna rock your sound.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now.